Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, 92.9thegame.com. Sam and Greg, good morning, Georgia.
Morning.
And happy Father's Day. That's the reason you're hearing the fishing song. Did you know people... Fishing hole song, that's right. Doggone it.
That's
the name. Missed it up there.
Yeah.
Anyway, be sure to check us out on the radio.com app and all your devices, including your smart speakers, on this Father's Day where we acknowledge happy birthdays of the Lakers head coach Frank Vogel and Matt Kuchar.
Yeah.
Along with somebody else, too, and I forgot. Matt Kuchar.
Live and direct from Georgia Tech.
Yeah, he did. Still waiting for that dude to get himself a major. He came runner-up.
Yeah.
He's a runner-up at the British Open, but, man, he just... But still one of the most popular players on the tour.
Definitely. Definitely. Yeah. Always.
Any chance you get a chance to yell "Cooch"? It ain't a bad day when you're out there, especially when you're walking around. You gotta find your music when you can. On this Father's Day, coming up later on, we're gonna talk to Karen Pestana about U.S. Open deciding to have its tournament that may change, and Serena Williams has decided she is going to play. We're gonna talk about that and the reaction from just people in the sports world about the movement. We're gonna talk about that later on in the hour. But on this Father's Day, Sam and I have said we're gonna tell a story from our life having to do with being a father or of our father. Mr. Crenshaw, I'm gonna leave the floor to you right now.
Yeah, and you know, last night I thought of what picture I'm gonna post today on social media for my dad, and I found one of he and I. Christmas 1960, and I'm 2 years old, man, and I'm in like a cowboy outfit, and I got a punching bag.
Well, hang on a second. I'm trying to picture you at 2 years old, and
I'm gonna post it. You'll get to see it.
Okay.
I'm walking by then, dude.
You could still be held. Let's see, 1960 in your best Sonny Liston pose.
No, I'm in a cowboy outfit. I mean, I got the hat and everything, you know, cowboy. I guess I love to watch those TV shows. I guess I used to watch a lot of that stuff with my granddad growing up. But anyway, I'm 2 years old. What do I know? They put me in this, this punching bag, and we're standing out in front of the house in Birmingham. But the story I want to tell about my dad was one of my favorite pictures of him is from my graduation day, and from West Georgia, from the alma mater. And salute to everybody down there in the Wolves and everybody on the coaching staff. Happy Father's Day to all y'all. You know, he started college, and that's why I always say no Miles, no me. He met my mom at Miles College in Birmingham. They met each other. And he went, but he didn't finish. He went to Korea, and he fought in the Korean War. And when he came back, they got married, started a family, went to work. And so I felt like on graduation day, I wanted to share that with him. So I took my cap and gown off. And I put it on his head, and I took a picture of it. Because after all, he paid for it.
There you go.
I just wanted him to have that moment, and that's one of my favorite pictures of my dad. With that cap on for my graduation day. So yeah.
And you got, was it one of those moments when you did it? You said you sent it to him, so he got to see it, right?
What's that?
The picture you're talking about?
No, the picture of what the
What you said you did for your father.
Oh, I just took a picture. Well, I had to take a picture. It was a Polaroid.
Well, okay.
It was a Polaroid.
But I'm saying you sent it to him. And what I'm getting at is one of my most vivid memories of either parent is when you as a child touch them in a way where you produce some tears.
Yeah.
Because it's a way in which, you know, you are letting them know, okay, I'm finally understanding what you said all them years back. You know, or how to carry yourself and things like that. So I was just wondering if it was one of those moments.
I catch it. And I gave it to him later. I framed it and I gave it to him years later. Mm-hmm. You know, because that day, we'll get back to my graduation. That was a crazy day. I went to work, I went and graduated, and I went back to work. But that's a story for another day.
Yikes. Okay.
Yeah. I was working up the street. I was working up the street a few blocks and had to get back to work.
Sam and Greg, Sports Radio, 92.9 The Game, 92.9thegame.com. On this Father's Day, we have been talking about, you know, sports trying to reopen, not only on the college level, well, on the high school level too, but also the professional level. And we heard some comments from Dr. Fauci earlier about teams using a bubble, suggesting teams or sports should use a bubble. He said that about the NFL. I would imagine any college, you know, whatever level of college, whatever level of football you're playing, you might want to consider that. But it's a very fluid situation as far as the attempts to try to get back to just having any manner of event. Forget about games at this point, just getting back to train and things like that. So obviously we've been hearing about what's going on in Orlando with the NBA players, and then there was this split. What did you think about that, man, when you heard about Kyrie coming out, and now he's got a handful of players on his side of the fence, including his teammate KD, who called out Kendrick Perkins for giving an opposing viewpoint this past week. When that was playing out, I was like, why y'all got to be fighting back and forth with each other, especially publicly, and especially this week? While this is going on. That was just me, you know. I get it. There's two sides of this. I think, me personally, I think Kyrie Irving's being short-sighted like a lot of people, because if you want to achieve what you want to do, I am of the thinking that use the platforms that you're going to have once you get down there and get your messages out. That's just me. I think you will be lost in the mix of everything else that is going on with everybody's world right now if you decide to boycott or not show up. Then it's all just on social media, and it's if people are following you to hear what you have to say, as opposed to a network putting your message out.
Yeah, I tend to agree that, but I've heard from some people who feel both ways, Greg. I heard from some people who feel like, you know, hey, if they start playing those games, nobody's going to pay attention to what's going on. I really beg to differ with that. I think the game's going, they have a tremendous platform that people will get to. This movement, because of the people we've seen come forward, and we talked about a couple of weeks ago, the people who are reacting to it that we hadn't seen before, Michael Jordan reacting, Tiger Woods reacting, Bubba Wallace reacting, you know, people who usually sit on the sideline when it comes to issues, and they're speaking on it, that's the magnitude of the moment. I don't think it goes away just because they play the games, and they'll have more opportunities for people to tune in and watch and see. People are looking for sports, and I think people understand, a lot of people say don't cross sports, you know, with an issue, but this is an issue that directly affects them, you know.
Oh, absolutely.
And where they live and where they come from, you know. So I'm with you. I think they should use the platform that they have. It's a sense of strength, and it doesn't weaken anything at all. But there are some people who are of a mind that if they start playing games, it's going to detract from the momentum that this movement has. I don't agree with that.
Sam, everything that is going on right now is part of, in my estimation, a much bigger woven fabric. And there's no way that you can pick and choose what issue you want to deal with and address without having it affect the others. You might have been able to do that before and, you know, put this on the back burner. No, you can't do that now. Everything is connected to some extent. And to watch a separation like what was attempted this past week, or at least that's the way it came across in the media, with, you know, Kyrie's stance and not wanting to do that, and then others trying to enlighten him about this is why we should do it, and then, like I said, KD coming out with all that. It's really been maddening, and it's counterproductive as far as I'm concerned. Well, listen, our own head coach, Atlanta Hawks, Lloyd Pierce, had some comments on that.
We're committed to trying to make State Farm Arena a polling place for our organization, so that Fulton County and DeKalb County and every citizen in this city has the right to vote, has the opportunity to vote. So we oppose Senate Bill 463 that limits the ability for us as citizens to exercise our right to vote. And so I want to finish by saying, I was born a black man, and I know one day I'll die a black man, just as a lot of our players and coaches are on this stage. But I don't want to die because I'm a black man. Thank you guys for having us out.
Atlanta Hawks head coach Lloyd Pierce. That was obviously a different cut than what I was setting up there. But obviously him being very visible this past week, maybe for the last few weeks, and given every opportunity he can.
Spoke at the state capitol.
Right, that's what. Yeah, that's from the Capitol. Yeah. I think every opportunity he's had to make comments, he has. So he's been out front as far. And the thing about it is, it's not just because the Hawks aren't going to be a part of this playoff thing. He has vested interest in what's going on, and he's, like I said, he's been one of the voices that have been out front during this movement.
Yeah, I think he's moved it, and I think it's very much in the spirit of where he lives right now. It's a city that embraces the movement and encourages people to speak out in a positive and productive way. And so, you know, kudos to him for doing that. Also for the Hawks organization for supporting him in doing that as well. So, you know, that to me, that was what great to see this week, you know, coming from our team here in town.
So let me just ask you point blank, man. Do you see this thing in Orlando working? Do you see it? Do you see it happening? And if it starts to happen, do you see it sustaining itself through the season that they hope to have happen? The shortened season and the playoffs and all that. Are you confident it's going to be successful? And I tell you what, I won't back you into too much of a corner. I'll give you a scale of 1 to 100 if you had to pick, you know. Because it is, I mean, we really don't know. We really don't. Tomorrow we could get news that this thing is just overrun us again and we're back all in shelter. And you know, shelter in place again. We don't know, but
they're concerned because of the numbers of the virus in Florida right now.
Exactly.
And so even bubble or no bubble, just to be in that area, to play. So that raises a big concern with the players who want to be there. You want your whole team to go. You don't want to be down there with half your players and guys who don't want to go down and play. And so that's the kind of quandary that they're in right now. Some kind of way. And then you have to get some people down. I don't know if you go down and test it and play some games and see if any contracts anything. I mean, and who's going to volunteer to go and do that?
There you go. There you go.
You know, so that's.
These guys are complaining about getting tested. I mean, it's
fun. They want to get twice a week, man.
We see people driving up into these parking lots and malls having that same procedure done and stuck up there. And then they get, you know, they're in the car. They stop for a minute. Somebody comes by, does it. And then they move on and head over to Costco. Right? No big thing. But the pushback has come, and I'm sorry, but it's kind of funny, is that we got these 7-foot-tall millionaires who are, hey, you don't touch me, like a 5-year-old going to get the booster shot when the parents take them to the pediatrician. You know, get tested, man. Quit sounding all soft and everything.
I saw a former coworker of mine from over at 11. He had posted on Facebook. He went through a drive-thru at a drugstore. They'll give the test to you at the drugstore, and you can have someone administer it, or you can administer it yourself.
Right.
He did it himself.
Oops.
While he was in this car. Yeah, dude. Man, Greg, hey.
Are you saying it wasn't a pleasant experience? Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, well, that didn't look pleasant at all, man. And he's sitting there in his car, and got his head tilted back and trying to put that. Oh, wow. But, hey, you know what? We do what we must do in these times. Until we get a vaccine for this thing, you know, that's what's happening. And, you know, like it or not, our players from our teams, our pro sports teams who want to get things started, each and every day the story turns on each and every pro league, college sports, and right down to high school. We just talked with Coach Cofield, if they can get it started on time, if they can play, you know, who will play, who won't play. Then you get into the international sports, like what we're getting ready to talk about in that next segment. Players who have to come from other countries to play. What are the cautions? Are they seeing how we are handling or mishandling the virus in this country and make them not want to come to the United States? That could be an issue, too.
Well, and also where they're coming from, too. So, yeah.
Right, but if they're coming from a place that has handled this virus the right way, then they're reluctant to come here when they see how people are inconsistent. One people saying you ought to do this, and the other people saying that, well, we won't do that. You probably may have some international athletes who say, you know what, I'm gonna stay right where I am.
Yeah.
But, well, no. You know what? We got somebody coming up who can talk with us about that.
Well, tell us who it is, Sam.
All right. You know, hey, U.S. Open is on. New York is open. The U.S. Open is happening. Karen Pestana, our good friend from Tennis Panorama News, will join us next as you stay with us on this Father's Day Sunday morning on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game and 92.9thegame.com. We're available through the radio.com app for your smartphones and all of your smart devices. Stay with us.
you in your bassinet. That night, I don't think one wink I slept as I slipped out my bed to your crib. I crept, touch your head gently.
It's a rare condition this day and age to read any good news on the newspaper.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, 92.9thegame.com. Sam and Greg, good morning, Georgia.
Morning.
And happy, happy Father's Day as we regale you with all kinds of theme shows and music celebrating fathers on this day. Remember, you can check us out on the radio.com app and all your devices, including smart speakers. Mr. Crenshaw told a Father's Day story earlier. I have, well, actually, I think we got a couple more, but I'm going to do one here later on this hour. Also coming up, I actually may have, Sam, a little small casting call to do. You know,
really?
Sort of makeshift.
Uh-oh.
Yeah, just kind of
really
little something,
yeah.
Something. You know, so yeah, I'm going to tell you about that coming up later on in the hour, and point you in the direction of a couple places that may help you out. But man, it's been a while since we talked to our friend, and
yeah,
I first, before we get into her expertise, we should let her know we miss her. And we hope that everything is going well with her and her family. And we also want her to go back to when she was a young girl, if she's got a Father's Day remembrance. But want to welcome Karen Pastana back to the show. And good morning, Karen.
Good morning. Good morning. Well, if you want me to tell you a Father's Day story, it actually kind of links to what I'm talking about. Okay. I'll do it very quickly. My father is the reason why I am so into tennis. And then when I was a very little kid, the first tennis I ever saw was a final of the U.S. Open. And because of that, I was hooked. So my father is to blame for me and my love of tennis.
Who was that early person that when you started following tennis that you wish you could play like?
I wish I could play like. Oh, man, that's tough. Now, it's funny because, I mean, you know, I never saw Althea Gibson play because I'm way past, you know, my time. But everyone used to talk about how dominant Althea Gibson was. I'm not that tall, so there's probably no way I would have been able to play like her. But just from people telling me, you know, my parents and other people, probably her because she was tall and graceful and, you know, serve and volleyer. And I think I like the serve and volleyers, even though there are hardly any around. Old school serve and volleyers. I guess I can say that.
You don't see many on the tour these days. Karen Pastana, Tennis Panorama News, with us. And let's get to it. This week, we got some great news. The U.S. Open is still on. And Karen Woodsy, what are your reactions when you first heard that? And were you hopeful that it would still happen?
To be quite honest, I am still in shock that the U.S. Open is going on. You know, because I live in this area. You know, I live, less than 20 miles away from there. And, I mean, this area is starting to come out in phases in terms of things opening up and whatnot, but still, it's still the epicenter of the pandemic. But to be quite honest, I'm still shocked. But I see they're trying to take every precaution they can in terms of keeping the players safe. So, as you guys probably well know, no fans. And players have a limited number of people they can bring with them. Oh, but even on top of the U.S. Open, before the U.S. Open even begins, the Western and Southern Open, which is in Cincinnati, is coming to New York. So you're not only the U.S. Open going to be played, but the week before, one of the big mixed event, WTA and ATP events, Cincinnati, they're going to be playing it on the grounds of the U.S. Open. So players will be in New York essentially a month before the U.S. Open begins. That's going to be very strange. So Cincinnati and New York.
Karen Pistana joining Sam and Greg, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, 92.9thegame.com. That's crazy when you think about it, but I don't know. Upon second thought, maybe to eliminate travel, the possibility of what may happen in Cincinnati to move the event to New York. Obviously, there was a meeting that took place someplace, and maybe they thought that was their best chance of getting the players because they need this tune-up. But having said that, my question to you is, what is it like now walking around New York? Now, it's because I've heard, we've watched the governor, Andrew Cuomo has been the most visible governor throughout the country with his daily updates on what's going on in New York being the a hot spot like it was for so long. They're now feeling comfortable opening things up and restaurants and so on and so forth. But are you still leery about going out to events, especially places, even though there's not going to be a crowd there, there's still going to be reporters and people connected with the facility that are going to be there?
For one thing, let me tell you, in terms of the U.S. Open, there will be no media on site, with the exception of the rights holders, like ESPN and all that. But as far as walking around New York, it is strange that definitely not as many people, but sadly, I hate to say, at least in Manhattan, I can say that about Manhattan, that there's still people who are thinking that that stuff is back to normal, and it certainly is not. People hanging out outside of bars, like it's a regular summer night. It kind of scares me, to be quite honest with you. But it's a big day next week because certain more things are opening up. So we'll see what happens. The COVID numbers have gone down tremendously, but I just hope people are still diligent about. It's tough to social distance in New York on any day.
Yeah, it is for sure. Well, it's Karen Pistana joining us on the WaitForIt.com hotline for Tennis Panorama News. She is social. You can follow all details about tennis on her website, and she's on Twitter at Tennis News TPN, at Tennis News TPN. Okay, who's out? Who's in? Some players saying, hey, they may not want to come. I know I've heard one particular player in Australia who's really upset about it. Seems like Novak Djokovic is kind of smooth in his thoughts of it. And Serena Williams is excited about it. Thoughts about who we're going to see in the opportunity.
Oh, yeah. She popped up on the there was a media conference call for the U.S. Open a few days ago, and she was the first person to pop up and say, yeah, I have the U.S. Open court. I've been practicing on it. I built it. And she's all excited to make her way there, and we'll see what happens. Of course, there are a few players that are very leery about going, and one of them, although she hasn't made up her mind yet, is two-time major champion and former number one Simona Halep. She didn't, and people remember 4 years ago she did not go to the Olympics in Rio because of Zika, her fears for Zika. So we'll see what happens with her. You know, we'll see, because, you know, some of the top players, some of them are leery about it, but then, you know, we'll see what decision they make. They say one thing one day, one thing another day, and we'll see who actually shows up. But let me tell you something. The player that I feel very sorry for is Rafa Nadal, and I'm going to tell you why. He's defending champion for the U.S. Open and the French Open. And basically, they're being played within a couple of weeks of each other. So he has to go on the hard court, the U.S. Open, and then a couple of weeks later, it's the French Open on clay. That is going to be tough. I don't envy him.
Karen, but you know what? It's funny when you say that. It got me thinking, all right, let's say everything goes off as scheduled, and they get what they want, and they get the tournament off. I have bittersweet feelings about Serena, were she to win this. Because, yes, this would be, and this is different than Nadal. Nadal's not going for an all-time record.
Mm-hmm.
Serena wins this, that's it. She's past Margaret Court. But they're going to be
tied, yep.
Oh, be tied, okay. But they're going to be, it's almost like she's got to win two more, because there are going to be people who are looking at this with maybe a watered-down crew of people, the top athletes, maybe not all the top athletes will show up. The woman who beat her in the last one, Halep, says she may not be coming. My point is, they may want to put an asterisk. Next
well, let me go back in history here. Margaret Court won the Australian Open at least 8 times. Don't quote me on that, but a bunch of times. A lot of the times when she was playing, she didn't. It wasn't 128 draw. Maybe it was a 56 or 64 or whatever. So I wouldn't necessarily. I would not put an asterisk next to the U.S. Open should Serena win it, because a lot of people don't realize that back in the day, in the 60s and late 50s and all that, a lot of times some of the majors didn't necessarily have full draws for women, Australian Open especially. So, and a lot of people didn't make the trip to Australia. That's a big trip. I mean, think about it, in the 60s. Don't have as many planes going there. And I guess a lot of players are like, well, do I really want to make the trip there, especially during the amateur days? So I wouldn't be putting an asterisk next to Serena's name should she win the U.S. Open. That's just history. A lot of people don't know.
Spending time on the waitforit.com hotline, Karen Pistan of Tennis Panorama News joining us to talk tennis. Got to talk about something else, this movement that is happening in the streets across our country. We heard a lot of athletes from a lot of other sports weigh in on it, speak their piece. Of course, New York has been a lot of marches and protests there in that area. Tennis players have also spoken out. There's a video entitled Rackets Down, Hands Up.
Yes.
Have you had a chance to see it?
Yes. Francis TFO and his girlfriend put this together, and they got a bunch of other players involved in the video, including Serena Williams, Gail Monfils, Sloane Stephens, Osaka, and a few former players, including past president and CEO of the USTA, Katrina Adams, and some other foreign players, Malvi Washington, Zena Garrison, Laura McNeil, Trina Rubin. And it's great. I mean, the players are, the youngsters, or I should say the kids, are really speaking up. And included, you know, outside of this video, you have Naomi Osaka speaking up about what's going on. And, and Coco Gauff, I have to give her so much credit as a 16-year-old for being active. Because a lot of people complain, the younger generation isn't doing anything about anything. But listen, I have to give credit to this, to Coco Gauff for taking a stand. And, I mean, activism is not necessarily the biggest thing when you think about tennis players. But when you think about the history of people like Arthur Ashe and Billie Jean King, I have to give these youngsters credit in tennis for stepping up and making their voices heard.
Is the
I'm
sorry, Sam, I jumped on you. I was just going to ask her, is everything else that would normally be in place for a major like this be the same this year? In other words, like the prize money, things like that, the rankings?
The prize money is going to be lower. It's supposed to be lower, and as far as the draws are concerned, normally at the U.S. Open, they play men's, women's, singles, doubles, and mixed doubles, plus the juniors. There will be no junior competition. The doubles, men's and women's doubles, will only have a 32-team draw, which means essentially the top 32 teams will be in the draw. So that's shrunk. There will be no qualifying tournament at the U.S. Open, because the week of that qualifying is the Cincinnati tournament in New York. So there won't be as many competitions. And you can see why they want to make sure the major parts of the tournament get played, the men's and women's singles primarily. But
right.
Yeah, I mean, it's going to be a big change. It's going to be so strange watching on TV and not seeing any fans. This is going to be the second U.S. Open that I have missed being on site since I was like 5 years old. It's going to be so strange for me personally.
Wow. The dates are August 24th through September 13th. Karen, thanks so much for spending some time with us and bringing some thoughts about the U.S. Open. Still going to take place in New York, but thanks for spending some time with us this morning.
Thank you, Karen.
Thanks a bunch, guys.
Karen.
All right, that is Karen Pistana. And your thoughts about that, Greg? They're still going to play it. You think about those players who got to come from overseas, and now they're going to be with the Cincinnati event. They're going to be around for a whole month.
Yeah, good luck.
You
to
know, that's amazing the time they're going to spend in New York.
You mentioned a little bit of it with Karen. We're going to get back to talking about the sports reaction to the movement. Also, a possible casting call. I'm still deciding. If there's, where I'm going to direct
what?
You guys. Yeah, I'll let you know about it. It's coming up next. Sam and Greg, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, 92.9thegame.com. Be sure to check us out on the radio.com app and all your devices, including smart speakers. Sports Radio 92.9thegame.com. Good morning, Georgia. Sam and Greg.
Morning.
And you can check us out on the radio.com app, all your devices, including smart speakers. And please, please, please remind everybody you know that Sam and Greg are here 6 a.m. to 10 every Sunday morning on 92.9 The Game. Got to get the word out for those who
had a disconnect.
Yes, Sam.
No, sorry. I just want to say, and we just heard Hugh Douglas a moment ago, happy Father's Day to all of our coworkers. You know, they're all on the team with us there, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. And, you know, we got a lot of great dads, you know, who come and, you know, bring information and entertain and enlighten us throughout the week. But today is their day, and I hope they're all going to have a happy Father's Day to all of our coworkers.
Okay. You rushed in. Yeah. I thought you had something more that you know, were, like there was something earth-shattering that you had to do. But
man,
I obviously want to mention
Day.
That.
No, it's Father's Day, man. Happy Father's Day to all our guys, man.
I got you. Okay. Now you derailed me from the thought I had. Oh, coming up later on.
Oh, no.
Yeah, well, like I said, I thought you had something urgent. You were like, Greg. And I was like, okay, well, Sam's got some hot new news. But we know we got good men as far as fathers. We know that already.
I'm
going to attempt to sort of point you toward a couple people and a couple things having to do with the film industry as it is still shut down in this state. Well, shut down across the board. But I was thinking about this past week, and there's some information I should remind you about and also point you toward a person, because I'm still hearing from people who want to do voice work. So I will I'll talk about that. But, man, this past week, here's the one thing. As we talk about the reaction from the sports world to the movement of what's been going on, the one thing that pops to my mind is the amount, and I've been trying to sort of grade them. During all this misery, I've been trying to find some sort of upside to all this. So I've been grading the apologies I've been hearing. You know, we've been getting it seems like there's an apology from somebody or some league every couple days. And in most cases, rightfully so. But I mean, you know, first it was Drew Brees, then it was Roger Goodell, and, you know, now Gundy this past week.
That's a whole show right there. We won't get into it. We don't get into it. That's a whole show that's happening out of Oklahoma State right now. We may be getting that little bit next hour. We're going to talk college football.
He's just blatantly showing the two tones of his hair there. He's going to let you know, I'm dying it, and I'm wearing a mullet. What else you got to say?
Yeah. Yeah.
That beard looked nice and trim, though. And it, again, though, but seriously, the reactions we've had this past week, the ones that stand out to you, and did they ring hollow, or were you glad to hear from some of these folks, Sam?
You know, and my whole thing with this movement, and I don't want to get too deeply about it, is focused on one particular thing. It's fair treatment. Mm-hmm. It's fair treatment to people. And that's the center fact. A lot of other things are being thrown in and you know, Confederate flags taken away from NASCAR and statues over here coming down. And, you know,
Aunt Jemima.
That's what this generation feels like they need. Yeah, Aunt Jemima off the pancake box, Uncle Ben off the bag of rice, you know. Mm-hmm. But I'm like, that's the center thing for me. But I guess the derivative of it, or the, you know, it also opens the doors for some other things, or people feel like these things need to happen. We had a couple of statues come down of founders of Major League Professional Sports franchises. Well, we saw one happen up in Charlotte several weeks ago with Jerry Richardson from the stadium of the Carolina Panthers, and Calvin Griffith's statue's been removed from the Minnesota Twins. Of course, the Washington Redskins, well, Washington Senators, where that team originally was, he moved it to Minnesota for racial reasons. And then there was the Washington Redskins that had their founder and longtime owner, had his statue taken away as well. And so a lot of, so, you know, speaking on that thing, if it's something that should have happened or needed to happen, you know, George Preston Marshall, okay if it corrects anything and people feel like they have to do it. But, I mean, that's just what's happening as things are getting swept up in this movement. We're going to talk college football next hour. SEC tells, you know, universe, not just Ole Miss, the state of Mississippi, you got to change your flag or we're not going to have any of our conference championships ever at Ole Miss. And right. then the NCAA follows up the very next day. So just amazing times and the reverberations of what's going on right now and impacting sports. So I wake up every day, Greg, saying, okay, let me see what's happened next.
Exactly. Exactly.
It seems to happen so fast. It really does. And the things that follow up along with it, the Redskins are followed up by retiring the number of Bobby Mitchell, whose story I think I may have mentioned before happened. He passed away earlier this year.
Yeah, that's right.
Talented running back, was the first black player for the Washington Redskins. And people haven't seen the clip from NFL Films where he talks about being traded to Redskins and how the owner told him he had to sing Dixie. You know, that was
– You believe that?
Mitchell's from Arkansas. And the idea of that just cut him to the core. But here he is, new with this team, and the owner is saying, play. And, oh, by the way, I'm sure the Redskins band was playing. Would you ever seen any pictures of the Redskins band back
please.
In the day?
Yeah.
And a bunch of dudes with head feathers, and they're playing. Yeah, that's just a bad picture. They're honoring Bobby Mitchell, and rightfully so, a very talented person. It's just amazing how all this stuff is coming through. At the same time, it's mind-boggling, you know, for me. It really is.
You're right. With every day, you listen to somebody. And, hey, some of these people I hadn't even thought about in a while, or organizations needing to make the change, like the thing with the Twins. Why are we focusing on the Twins now? But then when you hear the backstory, you wonder what's going on. A lot of this, I think, is being done because while it's long overdue, and it seems like this is the time, while everything else is dormant in their world as far as sports, let's clean up some of our house, which is what in a way is what we're doing. Everybody, when we got sent home, folks started fixing up the yards and fixing up the basements and cleaning out the attic and doing that sort of stuff, right?
And how about that?
We see leagues doing that. We see teams doing that. We see individuals, people in power making statements. Oh, I can't believe all this time has passed. Let me take care of this. And yes, in the bigger picture, it doesn't address the movement. But it's knucklehead stuff that's on the sidelines that has been a part of punchlines and things like that. So if you want to deal with that, you know, we're not going to take our eye off the ball. But yeah, if you want to address that, thank you very much. Yeah, that can go away. But understand, nobody has lost the focus on the bigger picture. I said this to you. You and I talked throughout the course of the week. And I made a statement to you telling you about how I have thought about this whole thing. And again, everybody's got their own way of trying to understand what's going on. And I have wrapped my mind around the events. And we're old enough to remember, and we've talked about that, what it was like when we were kids and this country was going through that. We remember what it was like when Rodney King went through the stuff and all the other events that brought minorities together to let it be known that we don't appreciate how we're being treated and so on and so forth. But this is different. And we're like, what was that old play? You know, your arms are too short to box with God. Do you remember that?
Yeah, I'm too short to box with God. Yeah,
there was a play about that, and it got me thinking about just, you know, dealing with something that you can't, you just can't. And I kind of came to the conclusion, and it might change, that, you know, maybe this is God just looking down on us, telling us, you know, y'all need to get your stuff together. You really do. Yeah. Not just America, all of you. Since you need to do that, here's what I'm going to do. Well, hang on, Sam. This is what I'm going to do. You guys need to get your stuff together. And for you to do that, I'm going to take away all your bells and whistles. Because otherwise, you'll use as an excuse again why not to do it. It's like being, you know, looking at something else as opposed to doing your homework at night. Okay, so God's taking away all the bells and whistles that we would usually use to pivot to get back. Oh, I got to get to this game. Or I got to take care of this. I got to go to this event. Well, now you can't do that. It's like that old movie.
You didn't see it.
Yeah, it's like that old movie with the Defiant Ones, where you got Tony Curtis and Sidney Poitier handcuffed together. Okay, now talk. You guys got to deal with each other.
Yeah.
And so we have had, because of this pandemic, all our bells and whistles and jewelry and all the things, all the trinkets that we enjoy, but we use as a diversion. That's been taken away. So we have to communicate with each other. So a perfect storm has happened to where we now, and there has been no better time in our history that I can think of to sit and try to fix a lot of the knucklehead stuff that we created, but the bigger issues that are out there. And that's just from my seat how I have come to look at this.
Yeah. It's like the mirror's been held up in front of you. Yeah. You know, for all of us, the mirror is held up. And we look back and we don't like what we see. And I think that's what we're seeing collectively happening with us right now. And you're right, Greg, something that's come and has caused us to stop down, have almost a full stop to what we normally do. You can't say, well, I was at school, I missed it. Well, I was at work, I had to go to this meeting. You know, no, because if you're doing a meeting, you're doing it at home, you online. Okay, well, whatever it is that's happening around the world is right here online with you. You can't escape it. You know, whatever it is, you're dealing with something on your phone, it's on your phone, it's on your smart device. You got to have a conversation about it. No, somebody saying you necessarily like it, but you got to have a conversation about it. And you're right. It has stopped things down to the point, and that's why I think we see the outpouring and the magnitude of it. It's because it's something we can't escape. You know,
people don't like having a 2-minute people. Listen, A, people don't like change. B, people don't like having that 2-minute uncomfortable conversation, or 1 minute, or 5 minute, wherever, whatever you want to, the length is. But it's got to happen now. It's got to happen, but it necessarily won't happen. But if it doesn't happen, you've got no excuse for not having it now, because this is the time.
Yeah.
If not, as the phrase goes, if not now, when? Because once this pandemic is gone, and hopefully sooner than later, we're all going to get back to where we were, right? Listen, let me switch gears real quick here, because I know we're up against the break here, Sam. Sam and Greg, Sports Radio, 929 The Game, 929TheGame.com. I want to drive you guys to couple places I talked about when I was regularly talking about casting call and letting you know about the various opportunities in the film and TV industry as an extra. Georgia.org. Georgia.org. You go to that homepage, in the top there's a menu tab. You click on that and you go down to television, film and television. Anyway, you follow those chains and there are people who are trying to fill up crews. They are looking for crew members. Even though this has been filled, there's a lot of people who unfortunately had to leave their job on crews because, you know, various reasons, okay? Well, they need to fill those positions. So this is an opportunity for you to regularly go to this page and check and see if you're a carpenter, if you're a cook, if you're a mechanic, if whatever your skill set is that lends itself to being on a film crew, television crew, there may be a job opportunity waiting for you. So again, you start at Georgia.org, you scroll down, you hit film and television industry and follow everything and they will be there. And also I want to tell you about Bill Seller. Bill does voices for those of you who want to get into doing some voiceover work. He'd take you from soup to nuts and actually come to your house when that's acceptable to check out your system and make sure you're up and running. So I'll give that to you once again. Coming up in the 8 o'clock hour, though, we are going to get back into the NFL returning. Going to talk to Chris Mahler, who is with Saturday Down South, talking about college football coming back. And for the first time, we are going to bring you an HBCU update. This is a new feature we're going to do it every week. Wet Jahi, our producer, a proud HBCU graduate, but he is going to give us an update on everything you need to know. So that's coming up later on in the 8 o'clock hour. It's Sam and Greg, Sports Radio 929 The Game, 929TheGame.com. Be sure to check us out on the radio.com app and all your devices, including smart speakers.
The greatest man I never knew.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world.
Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.